This is how bad the situation is. That just tells you one thing. This carbon dioxide is not dictating what the climate is doing at all. It shall never be, it will never be. Simply, the evidence is not there.
Hey everybody, Alex Newman here with The New American, and I'm with my friend Dr. Willie Soon. He is an eminent, internationally known, incredible scientist. He's an astrophysicist, among other titles and among other things he does. He works with the Planetary Earth Science Institute in Hungary. Yeah. And Dr. Soon, you just gave an incredibly interesting speech. And one of the things that really stuck out to me, you're studying the wildfires now. Because if you look at the media, they're telling us that the world is burning and it's because of man-made global warming. Is that true?
I really believe that the whole issue is completely out of context. It's not a matter of true or not true. Obviously, the gray line in between. But the problem of a wildfire, I would say, is mostly caused by many, many years of neglect. Many, many years neglect of mainly environmental movement, who is against logging, who is against clearing all your wild areas and all these areas, environmental area that they are very against. They don't like you chopping down trees. They don't like even you clearing some of the excess biomass or wood, dry mass around your area. So this cost to enormous, accumulated over time has caused significant problem in my humble opinion. Because one of the key, the number one most important variables, by the way, obviously there are many variables involved in wildfire. That clearly that could include some CO2 component because CO2 can make more plant grow. Okay, so that's clearly a small component there. But the largest component is actually how much dry mass you have there. That's the only one that really you can control very, very well. Even in terms of forestry, the practice of ecology, people realize for already a very, very long time. A lot of this management depends on the skills. It's very appropriate. Not only that, because a lot of these places need to be burned out so that the whole system, the ecological system, could revive. So wildfire, to put it simply, I don't believe it has anything to do with CO2. There is just simply no evidence to show that, by the way. You can't even show that even using the climate models. One of my colleagues from Michigan has looked into how many variables they have in their wildfire component in climate model, the one that used by IPCC for the next report. It found out that they maybe have about almost 400 parameters. That just tell you that there's room for turning everything and create all sorts of unviable and unrealistic scenario. This is how they portray this whole system as a cartoon that I think is just so wrong. And then when all you need to do is open up some of the evidence. I mean, NASA satellites have been monitoring wildfire for a long time. If you look at the latest statistics, the global wildfire over all the globe has been on average decreasing over time, at least the last 20 years or so. So I don't know what they're talking about. All I know is that even the data is not there.
Huh, and we're also being told that the Earth is having catastrophic warming because of CO2, that CO2 is pollution, and you had some of the data on the climate models that they're using. Is CO2 really causing catastrophic warming? Is it really a pollution? And will having the UN tax and regulate it, will that actually help solve climate change?
First of all, if you put a tax on carbon dioxide, I think it'll be the end of humanity in a lot of sense, because CO2 and oxygen has a close relationship. One should always realize that. It's really, what are they gonna do next? I mean, really, are we gonna tax all the air that we breathe in? This is a serious problem. Not only that, even if I'm being naive, even if I say that, okay, politically, you wanna do that, right? But what are we gonna get out of this? Because, first of all, I am quite sure by now, after some 30 years of research, that this CO2, at best, is a big player in the weather and climate system. What they've been hiding all these years, as I showed during the talk, is that they've been playing around statistics. They've been using numbers to hide all the information. They forgot to tell you that no matter what we do, the Earth always have a seasonal temperature cycle. This can be as large as 50, 60 degrees, depends on where your location is. And the amount of possibility of warming by rising CO2 is no more than 1 to 2 degrees of that kind. This is what I'm saying. You just consider 1 to 2 degrees versus this thing. When are we going to see these CO2 effects? No wonder that I've been studying the data for a very long time. I can categorically tell you that I have not found the evidence for carbon dioxide warming the planet. That's just one aspect, just the temperature. Then if you want to say that, can we call CO2 a toxin? We know that US EPA in a decision that cast on the Supreme Court on April 2nd of 2007, that cast say that EPA is an air pollutant. That was a political decision. The decision was 5-4 in the US Supreme Court. And I find that is a very sad day. Because in all the evidence that they have to show that CO2 was dangerous, it was only based on a climate model saying that the globe will have sea level rise. At 2007, you know what we can show at that time? Unfortunately, of course, nobody asked me to show my opinion and data and so on and so forth. It was not well argued because we have a, you know, basically a system that is very bad. The EPA is actually working with the environmentalists to try to make sure that the Massachusetts win the case against the US EPA. They were using climate model to show that global sea level rise could rise by even 1 feet, let's say over 100 years, which is a very tiny amount, even 1 feet. But of course, I don't think the number is even 1 feet. It's 4 inches. That's my humble opinion. But the problem is that the climate model that they use at that time does not even conserve mass. Sorry, it's a technical word. Not conserve mass, just simply tell you that the climate model cannot measure sea level, cannot conserve water level, because they wouldn't know how much of the ice is actually melted and go into the system. This is the problem. It involves certain approximation that is very well known. It's called Bousinet approximation. And this is the kind of problem that scientism and technocracy is taking over every decision that we make in this life, because many scientists simply want an easier life, so they don't speak out. They just feel it's uncomfortable, and all that kind of human sociology that I find it very troublesome. So this is what I conclude, that no matter what they say, this CO2, first of all, will never be an air pollutant. We know it's a CO2 is a plant food. It's very good for biological kingdom. The plant, it's no, we have satellites showing it's been greening all over the earth. Not only that, even in the crazy case as I showed during my talk on them trying to say that more CO2 will cause more poison ivy so you get more itchy. But I'm very sorry. Ecology, natural system. This even poison ivy, it is not good for human being, but it's good for the biological kingdom. All the animals, the squirrel and all those guys, they are not sensitive or allergic to this chemical in the poison ivy. So they eat them. It's their food salad. That's what I'm saying. So I'm sorry, which way you want it? These people are manipulating us 3 times, 10 times over. And unfortunately, again, I just wish that more people will seek out the true information, because I think that through only true information that you can make any rational decision or policy that you want to prescribe. The whole world seems to be bending that way, but please have faith, because science is that valuable. Science doesn't send a man to the moon by cheating, by changing the units, by changing one metric unit. Yeah, they got into trouble because the one changing from metric to the English system, they couldn't get the Mars rover to land on the Mars. That kind of problem exists, and it still exists now. For this problem of CO2, it's absolutely existing in this whole world. So when the IPCC report come out at the end of this year, please be alert. This whole thing has been planned and what you call streamlined to try to only produce an outcome that is going to be worse than we thought. And I want to remind me, one of the theme of my talk here is basically that for at least 50 years, these people, we have been giving them the benefit of the doubt. In science, you do have to give people benefit of the doubt. Every single prediction that I can find, I count. It's always zero versus however hundreds they have. This is how bad the situation is. That just tells you one thing. This carbon dioxide is not dictating what the climate is doing at all. It shall never be, it will never be. Simply the evidence is not there.
Yeah, it's fascinating. You and I first met, I think, at the UN Paris Summit, and it's the same thing with the predictions. They seem to always be wrong. One of the things that you showed in your talk that was so interesting, it was the plants and how they grow with different levels of CO2. The more CO2, the better they do. If CO2 is essential to plant life, and if it's not driving the climate, what is? I know you've studied the sun extensively. I know you're studying sunspots. I know you talked about water vapor and water, which, as I understand, is the vast majority of the greenhouse gases. What is it that actually drives the climate if it's not CO2?
Sure. First of all, we know that climate is a complex system. You have the ocean, you have the atmosphere, you have the land, you have all sorts of things. You have, geological phenomenon, right? You have plate tectonics, you have all kinds of this thing. You have magma coming out from the oceans and so on and so forth. But of all these factors, remember, I'm one of those who study just about all this issue carefully over my long career of some 31 years. It turns out that fundamentally it's the sun. It's the sun basically having the earth going around. So you have this very strong seasonal imprint on the whole climate system. You can even find evidence because of the relative distance of the earth to the sun. You can even find in volcanic output, you can even find in magmatic output, there is relationship there, okay? Depends on how close or how near you are to the sun. Because sun, after all, is a very strong mass and gravitationally could influence the planet Earth, plus the moon, of course. And it's the sunlight, essentially driving how the internal climate system would react or respond. One of the clear examples that have strong evidence, which show a lot of data for it. Remember, when I speak about this, I'm not just waving her, I have data. We have published paper. For example, one of the clearest examples is the sun radiation, incoming radiation, just evaporate the earth, produce more water vapor in the air. That's it, that's the greenhouse effect. That's the 1-0 order. And then there are a lot of details, how it affects the cloud cover. Right, that's the next layer level of contrast. Then the next level is how it affects how the energy got transported between north and south, because after all, it's a warm region in the equator. It's slightly cooler, so heat got to get rid of towards the high latitude region. All this aspect turns out to be working out very well. The evidence are very strong, but one word of caution: we have a paper that just appeared. It's a review paper that we have collected about 25 co-authors from all over the world, from Hungary to Russia to, people that come from NASA, JPL. So a paper that just appeared, it should be in any day now, but we already, official paper already appear. It's in the Research and Astronomy and Astrophysics, so I hope people read this. I got invited to provide this paper for a Chinese academician who want me to write a review on how the Earth is related to the sun's irradiance. So we just produced this paper. What we show, first of all, is that although we don't fully understand everything, always, science is about that kind of progress, and it comes very slowly, but we have sufficient confidence. In fact, we documented that the IPCC, including this latest report that hasn't come out yet, because we know what data they are using, so we can already analyze what they're gonna say. They clearly show you that they are very, very selective. For example, we found that there are 16 different recommendations of how you want to study the sunlight output is changing. And you know what IPCC do? They only tell people that it's only those that have very, very tiny changes in the sun's changes that they should use. And then where the large one, they won't use. And then that's one problem. Second problem is actually the thermometer data. That thermometer that you looked at has been highly selective because it contained a lot of what you call contaminant. They've been contaminated by non-climatic factors, something that's not related to climate, like you're building urban concrete, you have more trees growing. All these other aspects of things that has not been sufficiently reduced. So we show conclusively that we can explain every single thermometer data by the sun irradiance alone. That proved very strongly that the CO2 cannot be the player in this climate system. It's very weak, if it's anything at all, because the point is that we can find it.
Well, Willie, in our last few minutes here, you know, we've been going to these UN summits for a long time. I've been going to them for over 10 years, and it seems like they're getting more and more shrill. I know you're a scientist and not a future predictor, but where is this going? Are people catching on? Are they going to lock down the planet with the climate lies?
Thank you, Alex, for knowing that I have a few more papers. So, yes, I did just produce a paper to try to study how the sun will behave in the next 100 years. So we work out a very careful scheme by studying how the sun behaved for the last 400 years, and then trying to see from that knowledge, can we say something what is available for the next 100 years. So indeed, we just produced a paper, and I hope Alex will put out all this link of our paper and for this interview. And we just produced a paper that says that the sun, we're already in a very weak activity state, which means our light output is slightly weaker than, let's say, very active time during the 80s and 90s. And we are already in a weak state starting about 2008. And then we show that it will last until 2050, which means it will be very interesting time that we are living in now, because in 2020, we have another 20 years or so, or 30 years or so, possibility of a cooling, which will be very interesting if the IPCCs are honest and data are not being manipulated. Again, constant vigilance, I will watch it at least I will make sure somebody is watching this, that we can actually compare, because ultimately it's about the truth. It's not about whether my prediction come true or not, but all I know is that I already show they manipulated the thermometer data to make it look like it's only warming. There's no warming and cooling. But what we show is that actual thermometer data show is warming and cooling, in a cyclical sense, every 60 years, every 100 years, that kind of thing. But what they show is that it's been warming, only strictly warming, but not cooling. That shows you that they manipulated the data. So we have to watch the thermometer data and also the sun data. But what we predict is that the coming next 20 to 30 years will be cold. Okay, it will be cold. So it will be a very interesting thing to confront IPCC. And please read our paper and then tell more people. That's all I can say. Thank you. Excellent.
Well, thank you, Willie. And my last question for you. There's a lot of people out there who are going to Google Dr. Willie soon, and they're going to see the New York Times and the other fake media saying that you work for the fossil fuel companies. Do you work for the fossil fuel companies?
Absolutely not. I actually pay the fossil fuel company because I have to fill up my tank of gas, which I apologize. I do have to drive somewhere. But because I'm not fond of a Tesla and those bad batteries that when it's corroded, I don't know who's going to be responsible for those kind
put
of junk.
Put it in Al Gore's house, as he said.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Put it in Al Gore's house. That's right. Please watch the video also, because I think there are a lot more aspect of things that I discuss during my talk. And I think it's worthy of telling more people about this. Please share the information. And then if any have any evidence to show that I'm wrong, please come to me. I'll be happy to correct myself, in fact, on TV too, if anybody wants to say that. And then I'll explain if you're wrong, if you actually say that I'm wrong, but then I can explain to you what's wrong with your perspective, right? For example, I know that sea level change, if you really study this carefully, it's only about 4 inches the last 100 years. And these people are trying to say you're going to rise by, I don't know, a few hundred, 300-400 inches, actually. That's what they're proposing. That's the way to scare people. And even if they scare people, I don't know what they're going to do about this. That's the problem. I have confronted, by the way, former Secretary of Energy by the name of Stephen Chu, who had the Nobel Prize in laser physics, who actually make a claim that we should be worrying about Greenland ice sheet melting. I say, Professor, you are a professor in laser. You got your Nobel Prize in laser confinement, Steve Chu from Stanford. Can you please tell me if I shine a CO2 laser, which is in the micron, 15 micron, let's say, tell me how long would it take for even the tiny 1 millimeter layer of the ice to melt? I don't want to talk about glacier, please. You tell me, can it melt? The answer is that it will not melt. It will take a very, very long time. It will melt if you wait like a few 100,000 years. I don't know. The number I haven't asked him, but it's just this CO2 laser working in the infrared. It's not very effective. If you have a sunlight, visible wavelength, that's a different matter. That's why I study sunlight very carefully, because sunlight is the only one that matters in this sense for the climatic system. This infrared radiation is just purely a reaction of the system to achieve energy balance. When there's a disbalance in the system trying to look for some kind of equilibrium, right? Infrared is just a reaction, actually. This is why we say that the whole climate system is powered 99.1%, let's give them a little percent, by the sun energy, nothing much. Because radioactivity only produces very tiny amount of energy, that pure energy from internal Earth. There's no other sources of energy. Another serious problem that I can go on and on, but one last thing. We have a lot more problem if the planet were to cool than to warm. When we warm, we have a technological solution. There's a possibility, although I'm not in favor of those, I want to say. Not because Bill Gates is doing this, you know, like trying to put aerosols. I'm against, because it's a bad experiment. It's like as much as the vaccine is an experiment. But the problem about cooling, cooling is that if we have an ice age now in New Hampshire, it's 2 miles thick in 20,000 years ago. You know what? It's not the CO2 laser that is doing it. It's the sunlight that keep melting the summer ice away, more than you accumulate in the winter. This is how ice age are formed. It's only that kind of light energy. This is why when we have an ice age, we'll have a real difficulty because we'll have no energy source in the system to heat it up except sunlight. Okay? We can cool ourselves, it will overheat ourselves. There's a strong asymmetry in that problem. Humanity can solve a lot of problems, including overheating. But I tell you, the problem of ice age, or little ice age even, the one that we heard in 17th century, where you have Frost Fair and all the Hans Brinker, all the skater, those problems are much harder to solve because we need energy heat source. And the real solution to that actually is nuclear energy. So we better start, get a lot of those material first. Those fissionable materials before it got covered up by ice. So in that sense, there's a race. Humanity is always in a race of some kind. But if you want to face a serious problem, worry about ice age. Never worry about global warming. Sorry. Thank you.
Dr. Soon, thank you so much for being with us. Folks, this man here is the real deal. I've looked into all the attacks on him, and what you find is in every case, they're not attacking the data. They're not attacking what he's saying, the science. They're making fraudulent claims. So share this info out. Get this to other people. Don't lose any sleep over man-made global warming. But you may want to worry about those guys that are telling you you need to pay taxes on the gas that you exhale. Thanks for watching, and God bless.